welcome along to the latest edition of You, Me and Web3 Shorts, powered by Forge. As usual, I am your host, Tom McDermott, and this is the spin-off show from You, Me and Web3, where we break down topics with Web3 leaders and make it as understandable as possible, not only for you, the listener, but for me as well. Now, excited about this one, because if you're a football supporter or a Football Manager fan, then this one is for you, because today I'm joined by the co-founder of Footium, James O'Leary, and the COO of Footium, George Benton. Thank you both. And James, what is Footium all about?
Footium, I've started to come about in summer 2020, and this was when I met co-founder Jordan at this competition. And this competition was around people making different products using Web3 technologies. At this point, we were making a game where people could own these football clubs, which are also these digital assets. And it was super simple at the time. People just had like a score generator. There wasn't any commentary. And the idea was, yeah, you could take control of your virtual football club. And that's what exciting, this football chairman idea. And the organizer of this competition absolutely loved football manager games and encouraged us to continue development of the game past the competition, following which we took part in the accelerator. And we carried on building out the features. And then in mid-2021, and it's around when George got involved, we decided to go full-time on the project, having secured a small amount of funding. And then towards the end of 2021, we decided to launch our club. We decided to sell these virtual football clubs. And kind of the sale of these virtual football clubs helped us fund more development of the game, as well as taking on some additional fundraising. And over this time, we've been refining the idea of this game from like a football chairman with digital assets to now where we have where users take control of these virtual football clubs, which they can manage and own in different ways.
Yes, just to expand on what the actual game entails, it's quite similar in the game mechanics to other football management games, in that you'll have a squad of football players, you can do transfers with other teams, you can loan players, you also have a youth academy where prospects come through and you can sign them on as sort of full-time players. And then once you have that squad, each game, you have to choose the lineup, the formation, the tactics. Do you want to play a high press or sit back? Do you want to be very direct? Yeah, so you can choose all of that. And in future, we'll add even more things like time wasting and take it a bit deeper. But that's what we intend to launch the game with. And yeah, there's a bespoke game engine that we've built entirely in-house over the last 2.5 years. And we'll continue building post-game launch. It's one of the hardest things about this project is getting a good game engine that's reliable and structured in a way that you can keep adding more features without ruining the balance of the system. But we've got some great people working on that. And it's one of the things we're sort of proudest of in the project so far. But yeah, aside from that, you've also got the aspect of it being a Web3 game. So each of these players and clubs is actually an NFT. And the way that the sort of monetization in the game works is that people can pay to mint players. If you pay to buy a player off another club, that is done in sort of, well, in crypto, but crypto that is worth real money. And so if you, whatever, have an amazing player at the start, you could sell them straight away if you wanted, or you get an academy player through who's the next Mbappe, you could train that player up, you could sell them on. It's very similar to a real football club. If they had a prospect who looks incredible, they get a decent offer in, are they going to sell that player, or are they going to try and train them up and maybe sell them on in future, or try and use that player to carry them up the leagues? And in building the game, that's exactly what we've been trying to replicate, is the challenges and problems and it solves that a real football club has to make. And that's where I think having this extra element of realism in the monetization side, because money does run football, unfortunately or fortunately, but it's a big part that is missing in existing games, in that the money in them is entirely fake and there's often exploits to generate ridiculous amounts of money and makes it so the game's not super competitive. And that's the final piece, is that you're not competing against AI, which can be often predictable. You're competing against real people who are controlling their own club, setting up their tactics and formations to try and beat you in their upcoming match. So it makes it a lot more fun and social in that way.
Brilliant. Thanks for that. And I guess as a keen football student and looking at football and how gaming has transformed over the years from play-by-mail to Championship Manager, Football Manager, the FIFA series, apps on phones, and plenty more that I probably have forgotten about. What is it, though, that makes you think your approach will work?
And the crux of our approach is focusing on enabling this feeling of owning a football club in a world, in a football world and universe that's kind of occupied by other meaningful players. And as George started to kind of touch on those two points really nicely, there's the aspect of this where your club has this kind of real value. You can perceive the value of your club in relation to other clubs. It doesn't feel completely arbitrary. Yep. And also our IP strategy. So what we've done is we've created this parallel football ecosystem. So one of the things we thought was a drawback of letting all be user-generated content was, I know I have a gamer tag when I'm playing games, and it's silly and it's not going to create, going to help us create a football ecosystem. So what we did was we kind of used these AI algorithms effectively to create names, badges, lore, all of these kind of like details which you could have as part of real football clubs, which we thought were kind of, which kind of help double down on this realism. And then the other part, which kind of George touched on, was about how the what Web3 is bringing to this is more accurately like a, say like a restructuring of when the, where the value lies in this, in the kind of the game developer, game player relationship.
Right.
And how we're structuring it is, the actual value in the game is kind of, because it's custodied by the players, then this kind of gives us the freedom to kind of provide a game platform which uses these like real money assets.
Is it something that you can play them without having Web3 and football knowledge?
It's a really interesting question, because throughout building Footium, we've been concerned with that entirely, and it's definitely something that longer term we want to try and be very much at the forefront of, making it a much easier experience for people that don't have any crypto or don't have much experience with Web3 to get involved with these games, because at the end of the day, I like 95% of our focus is building a good game in Web3, because it solves a lot of the problems that we found with other multiplayer football management games in terms of exploits and realism and competition. But yeah, we're just building hopefully a really good football management game. And throughout that time, we've had a lot of people, I'd say over half of our community had no idea about crypto, or they knew of it, but had never done anything in crypto before joining. And I think that's why our game particularly is quite a nice bridge for people to get into crypto and get onboarded and understand a bit more about how it works and what it enables, mainly because it's 95% similar to what other games you've played in terms of football management games, the mechanics, how you actually play the game. And this small part of this change, people are a bit more willing to do that, take on that learning and get a bit more used to Web3 because they want to try this new version of a football management game. So we have like all these articles about how to set up a wallet safely and do all of this. Our community manager, Sam, does a fantastic job of answering any questions people have, making sure people's assets are safe. We have partnerships with people that kind of protect people's wallets as well. So it's definitely something we've focused on, and it's a small bit of a learning curve now. It does require maybe an hour or two to sit down, set up a wallet safely and understand a bit more how you interact with applications. But once that learning curve is done, there's not really much more to it. The rest of it is just playing a normal game. But instead of signing in with your email and password, you sign in with a wallet, which is two clicks and a password.
No, I think you're absolutely right, George. And I'd just like to actually encourage any of the listeners to go over to your Medium page and look at some of the explanations and instructions of how to do things, because it's very easy to follow and far simpler process than many may think. What about the Web3 space in general then? How do you sort of, I guess, deal with the criticism the space gets?
I think also there's an aspect of, there's like a right for people to be a bit skeptical of it. I'm a massive football fan, as I said, support Lincoln City. And when you see things like the Wagme United takeover of Crawley Town, I was obviously very much at the intersection, big football fan, lower leagues, but also very heavily into Web3. And you kind of see this takeover of a bunch of people who are into Web3, wanted to acquire a lower league club and apply some, not necessarily novel methods, but novel in that league and level, to try and improve the club, which I think is well-intentioned, but the execution of it seems to not have gone so well so far. I think it's only a season in, but given their expectations of getting promoted within two seasons, did seem ambitious. Like Crawley having in League Two is maybe their average position over the last 10, 15 years. So expecting that they can get promoted to League One within two seasons is pretty ambitious, unless they were going to throw insane amounts of money at it. So there's that, and which is a more legitimate one. Like, they have taken over the club, they've tried to make improvements, they've faced several challenges which they didn't expect, and are sticking with it. But then you also have, like, even like off the scale bad of these terrible sponsorships of things that are nothing to do with football. I think the Charlton one was like the drunk fighting robot NFTs,
right?
That the club took on without doing much due diligence. My friend's a massive Charlton fan and was part of the brigade which got the sponsorship cancelled, but it was like an anonymous team. The game was either not launched or very much not what it said it was, and it seemed like a very much just a marketing money grab type thing from that project to try and show that they have some authenticity because they're sponsoring a proper football club, which then makes other projects who are more sort of legitimate and involved with football that want to do sponsorships a bit more wary. Like, we sponsor Leighton Orient, their back of shorts. It's been a great partnership, really helpful, but you see a terrible sponsorship go down the drain. There was, I forget who it was in Serie A, but their front of shirt sponsor just didn't pay the first invoice, so they massively took the sponsorship during the first game. And all of that just obviously contributes to this sort of bad image that a lot of football fans have in the space, which is, I think, justified in some of those cases, but also we're trying to show that it's not the whole space is bad, it's just a few of these bad actors that are like cowboys.
You mentioned Leighton Orient and Crawley Town there, but what do you think when you see clubs like Manchester City invest so heavily in Web3?
I think it's really interesting, and I appreciate how open a lot of these clubs are to looking into it, and specifically Man City, I think, have played it well. We spoke to them a few times, and you can tell that they're very keen to get involved, but are very strategic about that, the way they get involved, in that they haven't just dived in and started issuing 200,000 NFTs, which is maybe not the best approach that one club did, which didn't really have any point or any utility. It did seem a bit sort of not cash grabby because it's for charity, but they jumped a bit. I think they didn't do it in a strategic manner. And then I think there'll also be other clubs that aren't looking at it at all. So I think they're positioned well in that they're very keen, but they don't want to be the very, very first mover until they have something that's really valuable. And from chatting them to them, they have some really cool ideas. So I think they'll probably be one of the first, if not the first, big Premier League brands to start getting some meaningful Web3 initiatives out there, I would say. And yeah, I think also the structure they have with City Football Group allows for a lot of cool things in that as well, in terms of uniting those fans from all around the world behind these teams that they own, and not just a singular team.
What's next for Footium then, James? Where do you go from here, and what might we see over the next couple of years?
So we have, going forward, as we discussed a bit, is we want to be able to create onboarding experiences which is much more accessible to these people that have got experience with Web3. And a lot of that will be kind of providing these onboarding flows which be mirror more so what they're used to. And there are a number of providers in the Web3 space which are working to abstract away a lot of the complexity of having your own wallet and this type of thing, which seems quite scary from the outset.
Yeah.
And we also, to kind of help people get into the game, they'll be releasing free-to-play version of the game where people can kind of, similar to how kind of any kind of company will want to kind of dip their toe in the water, we want to provide people the opportunity to dip their toe into the water, which is Footium.
Yep.
So far, that we want people to have a taste of what it's like to manage their own football club.
George, have you got anything to add to support?
Yeah, I'd say on the product side as well. Obviously, James mentioned around onboarding a load of users, which is obviously the goal, but also improving the product and continuing to iterate on that. Footium is quite an interesting one, as is most Web3 games, in that it's not a release one a year new game entirely. People have to buy it. It's once you own a club, like, the game is going to keep being developed and added, and more features and functions added, regardless of spending or buying a new type of game or new club each year. So that's one of the things I think where it differs to titles like FIFA and Football Manager, that you have to continuously spend in order to access the new game features and effectively the version that everyone else is playing. So I think in terms of features, we've got things like the 2D match simulation we're excited to add as well, which is the sort of dots running around the field, seeing the ball move around, which people love, and also aspects such as training, building up your academy. Currently, each club has a stadium that they can improve, but also want to add in academies, training grounds that improve the amount your players receive each, improve each training, coaches as well. So you can have retired players that can become coaches, as is very often the case in the real world. But it doesn't necessarily mean if they're a good player that they'll become a good coach. You know, you've got the Gary Nevilles of this world.
don't mention Valencia.
And yeah, so there's a lot of cool things you want to add. And I think even longer term, there is scope to take Footium across different sports. So the game engine we've built is quite composable and means that we can sort of transition across to different sports once we feel that the football game is at a really, really good point and there's not much more we'd like to develop. Because some of our users obviously came from more of a Football Manager background and have said that Football Manager on desktop these days is just way too complex and it's such a learning curve to just get involved in the game and have some fun. It's like an hour before you get into your first game and you start a save. So I think trying to find a good balance that people are happy with, where there is depth for people that want it, but it doesn't become unplayable for people that just want a more of a casual experience, is one of the important things.
And chaps, have you got any social media platforms or ways that the listeners can reach out and get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'd say either Twitter or in the Footium Discord. You can always find us in there, or on Twitter, I'm at GeorgeBenton247.
Our Twitter account is just Footium, and I am James O'Leary32.
And we always like to end the podcast by asking our guests if they're willing to come back at a later date so we can look at how their projects and successes is developing.
Yeah, we'd love to. Sure. Maybe once the game's launched, it'd be good to come back on and tell people about how we've progressed.
When's launch date?
Not out yet, but sometime later this year.
Oh, we nearly got an exclusive there. We look forward to that. And James and George, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thanks, Tom.